Dr. Dave, and you're listening to the Knowledge Share with Dr. Dave podcast, hosted on grokshare.com. Knowledge Share with Dr. Dave is also on iTunes and Google Play. You are listening to episode number 11, Voices from the 2016 Scrum Coaching Retreat in San Diego, California. I just love those sunny days in California. Joining me are a few voices from the attendees and volunteers. The attendees willing to share their learning experiences are as follows: Paul Winia from San Diego, Rachel Van Lannen from Chicago, David Van Rees, DVR, from Toronto, Canada, Angela Scott from Philadelphia, PA, Terrell Payton from San Diego, California, Rehana Rajwani from Toronto, Canada, Stuart Young from London, England, and Victor Bonacci from Orange County, California. You will also find video links from the 2016 Scrum Coaching Retreat in San Diego, California, on grokshare.com, which demonstrates the final work of the team after 2 days of deep dive.
Here we are at Carl Strauss after a wonderful day hanging out at the Scrum Coaching Retreat in San Diego. I'm here with Paul Winia. I always want to call you Winier. Winier, how was your experience today?
This has been just a really great event. I've had a really good time working with some great minds. I mean, that's been the most exciting part, is just the people that I'm working with. We did some enterprise coaching discussions, and the discussions and the debates and the final outcomes were all just fantastic.
So what was the dynamics like in your team besides just the debates, and what topic did you cover?
It was interesting at first because we're all agile coaches, all enterprise coach level, so certainly some people with some experience. And all of us facilitators and everything else. So it was a lesson in stepping back and ceding control and, you know, making your points when you had them, but in letting things just flow.
So what did you learn? What was the greatest learning that you would hold on to?
Maybe it is just that letting go and letting things flow a little bit, not needing to own or drive the process, but letting things unfold organically, letting the discussions happen.
What was your topic?
It was enterprise coaching. So we kind of were looking at a framework for enterprise coaching. What does it mean to be an enterprise coach? What are some of the core competencies and skills of an enterprise coach? What does an enterprise coach need to do when entering an engagement with a new client? So a lot of that is what we were exploring together as a team. And we had some good foundations from Agile Coaching Institute and some of the work that they've done in just general Agile coaching, and then taking that and molding it to more of the enterprise level and what it means to be an enterprise coach.
So what would you tell anyone about who's listening out there in podcast land? Well, how would you guide them in terms of giving them feedback to come and hang out here at the Scrum Coaching Retreat?
Just do it. I mean, it's just, of course, the setting was fantastic down here in San Diego, and the people were fantastic. I mean, just come out and experience it for yourself. You'll definitely walk away with some great learning.
Was this your first coach retreat?
This is my first coach retreat. So I've done, the Agile 2015, 2014, you know, a lot of those conferences. But this was the first really coach-focused event that I've done. And it was really a great experience. I've done lots of open spaces before, so that wasn't exactly new to me, but certainly having the two focused days to really deep dive on a topic, that was excellent. Usually it's, you know, you get into those open spaces, you talk for an hour, and then it's over. But here we had, you know, 2 days to really dig into the meat of a topic, and that was great.
Well, thanks a lot, Paul.
Thank you.
Tell me your name.
Rachel Van Lannen.
Okay, and what company are you from?
Strata Decision Technology.
And where are you guys based?
We're based in Chicago.
Okay. So was this your first time?
So this is my first really big retreat or, you know, agile coaching event. Yeah.
So what has this event been like for you?
Oh, my gosh. It's been a whirlwind. It's been awesome. Going into it, I was kind of uncertain with what to expect. And it has been so energizing. And, looking at the agenda, I didn't know, you know, who would be there, how big it would be, what, you know, the topics we discussed, but it's been amazing to talk to everybody and collaborate.
So what did you talk about? What did you learn? How was this? Tell us more.
Okay. Well, we had a team that was focused around coaching at the team level, and we had a wide range of people from like different industries and, you know, different levels, from coaches down to, you know, like scrum masters at the ground level. And we talked about, our basic thing was, if you wanted to come in and coach a scrum master or a team on how to improve their processes and about agile and to basically make them flourish, what would you look at? So we started with a skeleton of all the different areas, and then we really went and listed out, you know, went deeper into each area, and then to the actionable item. So we had awesome conversations, and I think we came up with a great product and great conversations.
The one thing that you had the most fun with? Too many to list?
There's a lot. I mean, from tonight's been already so awesome. And hearing what everybody else came out with too was so cool, because you could tell that there was so much passion and it stimulated all these ideas. I was constantly with my notepad, writing down things that I want to change, I want to implement, things that make sense and things that I want to try out. And it was just it was constant stimulation. But I think taking a step back and even at these events, kind of talking through and processing all the stuff that went on has also been great too. So all around, it's just been awesome.
One thing that you would like to share with one of your coworkers when you get back in the office?
We got to get more people to these events, I'd say. We had actually 5, which is a lot for the size of our company. But I want other people to have the opportunity to really engage with the Agile community and to learn the best practices, the things that are working well, that, you know, and really get that energy back to the team. I'd say that's in general.
Well, thanks a lot, Rachel. Look forward to seeing you at another one of these retreats.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Hey, so I'm here with David Van Rie, so DVR. Where are you from, DVR?
I'm from Toronto, Dr. Dave.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So is this your first retreat?
Yes, it is, my first Scrum retreat.
So what was your experience like?
Oh, it was really a lot of fun. It was a little bit unexpected, because we did the 2-day deep dive into various topics, and I was kind of expecting more of an open space across the 3 days, but the deep dive turned out to be really good, because we formed a team, we actually bonded really strongly, and we delivered a lot of really cool things, so I was really happy in the end. So,
what was the topic?
The topic was just thinking about improving, using Agile to improve humanity, you know, and to do something good and positive. We ended up talking about applying Agile in a fun, engaging way with NGOs and community groups, which I really, really enjoyed.
So what was the one thing that stood out to you?
It was the passion of the group and then how we applied it. So, of course, with Agile frameworks and applying Agile thought, it ends up being sort of the same way, you know, you want that feedback loop and the various ways you apply Agile, but we applied it specifically for NGOs, and so there's a lot of commonality to how we do Agile kind of anywhere, but there's some really cool things that came out, and especially how we thought about how it applies outside of software and to organizations, especially very small ones, and engaging community or engaging with clients of those NGOs.
Going forward, you know, how would you use some of this learning as you go back to work?
Well, I love the fact that, you know, we just took the learnings and we went through a proper product mapping and thinking about a vision and then applying that down to goals and breaking that out. So just applying that, we do that anyway with our company, with our clients, but just doubling down on that. And one of the things I really liked that we don't do as much with our groups is the affinity mapping was often just done by the crowd, by the whole crew, where we tend to, I think, with our group, the Scrum Masters do the affinity mapping and kind of say, do you agree, do you not? But kind of having the whole crowd come up, it's just as effective, more effective, because it's the group doing it.
So anything you would like to tell any of your friends, anyone who are attending one of these events, what would you say to them about your experience here?
Well, come with an open mind. You'll meet lots of great people from not only the United States, but Canada and various places. You know, just go in and enjoy yourself, have a lot of fun. So that was the first thing. When you have fun and you meet great people and get to know them, then great things will happen from that.
Great. Are you enjoying yourself at our offsite gathering right now?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We're at a great place. There's a beautiful little koi pond and some nice shrubbery, and there's some good craft beer. So it's a good time. We all kind of know each other now. It's a great conversation, meeting lots of good people.
Well, thank you, DVR, for giving us some time to and sharing your experience.
My pleasure, Dave.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
I am Angela Scott.
Now, what's your role?
I work as an agile process manager for a small organization in the midst of a transformation.
Where in the United States exactly?
Just outside of Philadelphia, PA.
Oh, nice. Outside of Philadelphia. So is this your first time at a Scrum coaching retreat?
It is my first time, yes.
So what has it been like for you?
It has been a really enjoyable experience, having an opportunity to connect with other agilists from all over the country.
Awesome. But what would be one thing that you would say is a great takeaway for you?
I've had a couple of takeaways. I've had some great insight to the coach role and how you expand and evolve the coach role. I've had some tactical takeaways around metrics and training. And I think finally I've had a chance to see the different ways I guess we come to this as practitioners. I've had a chance to have some great conversations with a lot of folks about their specific roles in their organizations, whether they be coaches or scrum masters or some other role, and to see, you know, as an agile practitioner, how they come to what it is that they do.
Hopeful, in terms of the word comes to me, hopeful. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you hopeful for after this experience?
I'm hoping to take away this energy that I have here. You know, sometimes you kind of get bogged down in the barriers of this role and the roadblocks that people put in front of you. And I've really been energized here. And I'm hoping that I take that away and I can continue to ride that wave for a good long time.
So anything that you would say would make you exceptional when you walk out of here?
That's a big question. I would have hoped I was exceptional when I walked in here. But I really do think, I think I've already said it, hearing what others are dealing with in their particular organizations and what it is that they bring to the table around this thing that we call Agile, I think that taking a piece from here and a piece from there on what it is that I could be comfortable practicing, I think those things are going to make me even more exceptional.
Yeah. How will this change your team? How will this change how you respond or lead your team going forward?
I have some resources that I've taken away. What is it, Agile Coffees?
Yeah.
I'm going to put that into practice. There's some communities that I'm going to join, and I'm going to encourage my team to enjoy them so that they have those resources available to them as well.
Awesome. If people wanted to connect with you and just poke you and said, hey, Angie, I heard you were exceptional. How did you get that way? Do you have a Twitter handle that you could give to someone that they could reach out to you with?
So as a technologist, I'm slow to adopt technology. I don't have Twitter, but I am on LinkedIn, and you can find me on LinkedIn /ASPPMP, Angela Scott. And I've got a list of certifications by my name, but look for Angela Scott in the greater Philadelphia area.
And that's the way that they could just ping you and
yes.
And send you an in-mail or something like that?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You're a volunteer currently for the Scrum Coaching Retreat in San Diego. What's the highlights for you?
The highlight for me was seeing all the people from not just Southern California, but from the rest of the U.S. that made the trip out here. Oftentimes, for those of us who are practicing in an area that is not a Denver or Boulder, Colorado, or is not a San Francisco Bay Area, sometimes we feel a bit isolated from the broader community. So it was heartening to me to see all the people who thought that, for whatever reason, San Diego is a great place to practice our craft. That was the number one thing. Even though I had been pushing behind the scenes to try to have a retreat here in San Diego for my own selfish reasons, I didn't fully grasp the fact that we would be able to have a critical mass come down here and that there were so many people locally that I did not know. I consider myself pretty prolific as far as networking, and there are a lot of people that I'm like, I had no idea you were around here, you know, yeah. Mea culpa on that. So that's probably the biggest eye-opening positive thing that I was like, wow, this is awesome.
Were you surprised that we had people who came as far as Canada?
Yes, I was. I expected it to be mostly Southern California folks out here. I expected a lot of L.A. and Orange County and, of course, some San Diego. I did not expect people, you know, from far-flung areas like Canada to make the trip here. People from Chicago. There's a whole contingent from Canada. There's another contingent from Chicago.
Yeah. I met some people here from Philadelphia, Pittsburgh area,
right.
New York, New Jersey. I was like, wow, I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yep, that's true. I was very happy to see that.
If there was something that you wanted to encourage people to get more involved with, volunteering and giving back from you know, being a leader in the industry, what advice would you give to them to get involved with some of these events? Because we need more volunteers
to
help move this forward, right?
We do. So the first thing I would say is I myself had always been hesitant to volunteer because my time is limited. And we tend to think of things in terms of, if I can't give my best, if I can't give my all, I don't want to only give a little or only give a half. And I can tell you this, most of the time, the people who are leading these retreats, leading the conferences, leading the gatherings, are committed to making it a success, and they can use all the help they can get. So even if you say, look, I'm only able to offer this, where this is me making a signal with my fingers showing just a small amount, they can use that. They can use that. If you can commit to whatever it is you can commit to, then they will be able to leverage and utilize whatever it is that you can offer. And it may just be, you know, I can't really get involved in the planning, but I can help shuttle people back and forth from the airport. Or I can help, whatever it is you can help with, I encourage you to help. That's number one. Number two, you don't have to be an expert to get involved and to volunteer your time and your energy. Even for me, I consider myself fairly sophisticated as far as an agilist, as far as a management consulting. And I learn things every single time I have a conversation here. And it has nothing to do with the level of experience in Agile. It's just different people have different experiences. So there are people who have only been doing this for a year or so, and they're talking about some of the challenges and some of the things they've learned in applying these principles to their organization. And my eyes are wide open. I'm like, wow, I had no idea. That's interesting to know. I just learned something. I have all these terms in my little notebook that I need to look up and some things I need to follow up on. So those are the two things. Even if you don't feel like you can volunteer a lot of time, every little bit counts, and the more people get involved, it takes a huge load off of the shoulders of the people who are actually planning and facilitating the event. And number two, you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be a CEC. You don't have to be a CST. You don't even really have to be a CSM to volunteer your time and use it as an opportunity to learn, because we all learn from each other, regardless to the three-letter designation behind our names.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly appreciative of having the opportunity to serve with you here in the Scrum Coaching Retreat and the contributions that you've made. Made things a lot easier, I could tell you that much.
Yeah, I could see the look of relief on your face when you said, hey, can you facilitate the retro? I said, sure. You're like, okay, good.
Yeah.
It's one less thing to worry about. Exactly. And
yeah.
That was the point of what I was saying, is that you, from an individual perspective, you may think, oh, well, I can only give a little bit. Well, if 20 people are all giving a little bit, then the Dr. Daves of the world, all of a sudden his forehead gets a little less wrinkled and he can enjoy himself and smile and interact and you know, get some value out of it.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. That gave me more time to even participate in a team while being here.
Right.
Yeah, and oftentimes we, while we're running these events, we just never have an opportunity to do that.
So, right, right.
Yeah. But thank you so much for your contribution and your input. And, you know, I look forward to spending more time with you and learning more about you.
Okay. Thank you very much for giving me this platform to talk and interact with your audience.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Rehana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got my name right.
Wow. I almost didn't screw that up. So how was your experience here today at the Scrum Coaching Retreat?
It was great. I actually met a lot of cool people. It was very nice listening to people's experiences. My team was mostly working on transforming corporations to the agile way of working outside of technology, so outside of development teams. And that was very interesting for me to see. So I actually learned a lot, met some really cool people. It's great to see people from different places. I actually ran into someone who actually works in Toronto downtown, but I met her for the first time. So that was great. I quite enjoyed my experience so far.
Wow. So your topic, what topic did you guys cover? What did you guys talk about?
We talked about how we can convince enterprises to bring Agile into their companies or their organizations outside of their development. So let's say their software side is using Agile, any form, Scrum, Kanban, whatever, and their other parts aren't. So when we kind of polled our audience, we saw that a lot of people felt that their development teams were doing a lot better than their other teams. So let's say marketing, sales, all these other operations, right? So we came up with a framework that could help leaders in organizations understand the agility or the level at which their departments were working at and how to transform them to a more agile way of working to increase their, their growth from 10% to 10 times, which is basically 1,000%.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What was your topic? What was the name of your topic again?
The topic was...
What's the title?
I believe... our team title was Transformers, so transforming the way of working.
Okay, so was it business agility? Was
it
the
was
core?
Business agility,
okay,
and selling Agile to leadership. So it was a combination of those two.
What was the biggest challenge as you came into this? Like, this is new to you, so what was
right.
the biggest challenge?
The retreat or the topic?
Both.
All right. So I think for the retreat itself, the challenge was trying to figure out what I was really passionate about and what I wanted to figure out more of in the Agile industry. On the topic itself, I think what was challenging was figuring out how we wanted to attack this problem of not having Agile in anywhere other than software in enterprises. And so our challenge that interestingly maybe not a lot of people pay attention to is the wording. The way we present ourselves, using the word Agile with the CEO may not be the best way to, you know, put your foot into the door as a coach. So I think that was our biggest challenge as a whole, as a team. We were trying to figure out what's the best language. So we ended up actually turning the Agile Manifesto into a Business Agility Manifesto.
Ah.
And we changed words around and swapped them, and you can hopefully find a copy on the website. I think that was one of the challenges that we found interesting and we actually overcame.
Thank you so much, Rehana, for sharing with us.
No problem. My pleasure.
We're looking at the whole point, the value of visualization. And I had this, you see, so it's like the summary and stuff like that. Immerse yourself in a truly what it's all about, really.
All right, so can we start now?
Yeah, go on then.
Tell me your name.
Stuart Young from RadTech.
From RadTech? Where's RadTech?
So RadTech is we're based in London, but they provide agile consultancy for the community.
Yeah. For how long have you been doing this stuff?
So I've been a live illustrator for sort of maybe 12 years. So, and essentially been coming to the sort of Agile community, the Agile Scrum Alliance gatherings and the retreats. This is my fifth one, I believe.
Wow. Where have you been?
So I had the opportunity, I originally did the London retreat where I went along to capture the ideas and people's thoughts and as it sort of went through back in 2014, I believe, and that gave me the opportunity to then meet Daniel Gulo, and I came over to the North Carolina retreat.
Nice. And where else?
So the Seattle retreat, uh-huh. where I had the opportunity to meet yourself.
Yep.
And here, obviously, in San Diego.
Oh, nice. Nice. And where are you going to from here?
I have also had the opportunity to go to the gatherings. So I went to the gathering in Prague, and I'll be going to the gathering in Phoenix, which I'm really looking forward to. I've been to the gathering in Prague and in Phoenix, and I will be having the opportunity to go to the gathering in Orlando next month.
So you're just like a whirling dervish, traveling all over the world, illustrating your way.
Jet-setting with a pen.
Jet-setting with a pen. What a beautiful sight that is. What exactly is this business illustration thing all about anyway?
It's all about, for me, when I'm live recording, it's all about participation and engagement. People have different ways in which they absorb information, and this is a really nice way to get people to sort of see visually how people are thinking and sharing. And it's a great tool for collaboration. And I sort of have the opportunity also to support the Agile community to kind of think about how they can use visualization to assist them as coaches.
Yeah, you know, I saw you doing like a session teaching people how to do circles and squares and diamonds and, you know, what's that all about?
So as you know, that people have different learning styles, to be a truly good coach, it's really important to get people to collaborate and to engage. And what better way than through pictures? But a lot of people kind of feel very nervous and apprehensive of drawing live when they're facilitating or training. So we took them through some exercises based on some basic seed shapes, which you can then work on and then apply different basic drawings to, which is great fun. It was a great way to kind of open up the session here in San Diego.
So you see that there's a great benefit for this for the Agilist, but how about just anyone else who wants to convey a message, a picture's worth 1,000 words?
Absolutely. It's not necessarily just for the Agile community. In fact, when I first started off around sort of 12 years ago, I was assisting adults with learning disabilities and working with specifically for people with reading and writing difficulties to help them to engage with pictures. But as far as using visualization, any facilitator or any trainer or any coach who wishes to support a team to collaborate would get a lot of value from using imagery.
So how would you encourage someone to get involved with this? You know, I sat through a few sessions. I'll probably have to call you and say, Stu, give me some lessons. You know, how would someone really get involved with using illustration or visualization as a tool to convey their message?
Well, one thing that we do in RadTac, which is great fun, is sort of the idea of working together and kind of collaborative sketching. So we roll out a game called the Graphic Jam, and it enables you to kind of think of a specific word and then all sort of have an opportunity to draw that up and then iterate and share and sort of improve and enhance that way of drawing something. So sort of some of the things I'd suggest is just start by having fun. Grab a sketchbook, continue to draw, and give yourself the goal of having something new to draw, so you start to build your own visual vocabulary. A great way for people that are coaches or training or whatever is to sort of maybe support the people that they're teaching and say, hey, look, we're going to place on a graphic jam game at the beginning here, and we're going to start thinking about some of the reusable words that we're going to be using throughout this session, and let's think of some pictures. So I'd say just practice, having the confidence, and just having a bit of fun with it.
So could I give you a label?
You can.
So can I call you like maybe Stuart, the visual wizard?
That sounds wonderful to me. I'll draw it.
I think that would be a great imagery for you, Stuart, the visual wizard, and you're really just making things happen with your pen. You know, and people who can't see me waving my hand right now, waving my hand, it's a visual moment for me right now.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful view.
Isn't it?
It was great.
Yeah. Let's talk about primary colors, about RGB.
Maybe not right now.
Maybe another time we'll have a chat about that.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe so. I'll teach you about the primary colors.
That would be wonderful. So if people wanted to connect with you, how do they get in touch with you?
Great. Well, so I'm a great user of Twitter. I really value the that channel, and whenever I'm at any of these events, I'll take pictures as I go along, so you'll get to see all the visuals as I progress. So, yes, Stuart at Live Art. So that's S-T-U-A-R-T, Live Art. Follow me and get in touch.
Awesome. So thank you so much for giving us your time here on this podcast. But also thank you for the effort and energy that you put in over the days at this Scrum Alliance coaching retreat here in San Diego. I think people really appreciated the effort and the work that you put in. And everyone, I'm sure, has been, you know, when I look at the Tree of Gratitude, you know, I see your name up there, Stuart, Illustration Visualization Wizard. Keep it going, man.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
All right, Vic, what's up, man?
Dave, it's done.
It's done.
It was over a year in the making, at least for me. I don't know how long you were involved, so like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. You start this off 2013 and just, you know, sustain myself through the years waiting for this event to happen, which was really awesome. Mm-hmm. What was your volunteer experience like?
My experience was great. I had the time of my life. I mean, this is my second, I think only my second retreat that I've been to. As you know, I've been into a number of the open space events as well. But so I'd volunteered there. But this retreat experience was unlike anything I could have imagined because I was volunteering, so I didn't know, was I going to be on a team? Was I going to kind of float around? And I think I played it perfectly because I was here early enough to help set up. I was throughout the event, I was kind of in the moment of what are people's needs? What do we need to have done to make it a smooth event? And yet, can I also kind of look into this team, look into that team, see how things are going, maybe participate? So I felt like it was the best of both worlds for me.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I felt the same way. You know, being able to participate on a team, you know, being an organizer, that was really awesome. I know sometime in the past, most people just missed that opportunity. I wanted to make sure that, you know, all of us got that chance to take advantage of being a part of the community as opposed to just being the caretakers.
Right, right. At the coach camp that we did last year in 2015, I was holding space. So I could not participate in the sessions. I was, you know, my duty, my responsibility to the attendees was to be there and hold space for people. Here wasn't that. You know, I could, like you just said, I could be part of a team if I wanted and still attend to people's needs.
But if someone wanted to know what hold space means, and I know that's very specific to open space.
Sure.
So what does that really mean for our listeners so they could, oh, what's hold space?
Yeah, I guess it just means being present in the physical environment so that if someone had a question or needed something done, you don't have to provide the answer, but you can direct them to where they can get the answer. So basically, you're just kind of responsible for their for them to be able to access the information or the change that they need to have made.
Yeah, it's like being in a servant leadership role, huh?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Yeah, well, what was the vibe like for you? You know, you look at, you know, 80-something
here?
People.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was nice.
It was great to see so many people. We sold out again, and according to Daniel, we're always selling these out. The retreats are always selling out. So it was a really good number of people. Not too large that you couldn't network with everyone. I think I talked to a good 2/3 of the people here and got to know them. But yet big enough that there was such a diversity of viewpoints, of skill levels, of kind of roles within their organization, all of that. So you're meeting some people, again, that you've seen before. You're meeting other people who you may have seen only on social media. And then there's a whole number of people that you hadn't met before at all. So it was a really good vibe. People were very relaxed, very curious, very ready to share and give of themselves. So I thought that this vibe was really good. I thought that the whole tone of the event started off and ended both on positive notes, and I didn't see a lot of drama in between.
Oh, hooray for no drama, man. No drama retreat.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So, I mean, and you want that too. When it's a retreat, you don't want to deal with drama. So this was good. It was real good.
Topics that stood out for you?
There were quite a few. You guys did We the People.
Yeah, Agility for the Good of Humanity.
I love that. I love that idea. That was good. I saw the team that did the enterprise leadership. They put a lot of time and work into theirs, and that's where I spent the most of my time. I started off on their team before I started playing a more of a bumblebee or you know, butterfly going from room to room. But theirs was really good. I liked the team that was in the back, as I point to a space in the room that all the podcasters can see, right? The team that ended up going through five sprints with one vision, and then on their sixth sprint, they decided to scrap it.
Yeah.
Go with the so what?
Manifesto, which was really interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting. But for them to kind of take the courage to be like, you know what, we've worked on this, let's pivot now in the 11th hour, basically.
Yeah.
But it was a testament to how the team works together and how they could find some bit of value that they wanted to share to the rest of the attendees. I thought it was great.
Business agility, that was synonymous to what we were doing. I thought that playback was really interesting, the whole dramatics and things like that.
Yeah.
I think that worked really well. Mm-hmm. Have you been in a space where you have a series of people who have no relationships, do not really know each other, mm-hmm. and then they come together and they just gel? Not a lot of forming, storming, you know, norming, mm-hmm. performing that I saw here that was really visible. Have you had an experience like this before?
Every team tells me that they went through that forming, storming, norming, performing. Everyone says they did. So it's to what degree have they done it?
And
I would believe them that they have.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I mean, I think of these types of events, whether they're scrum coaching retreats, whether they're the coach camps or the open spaces, that's really when I see people who come together who haven't had relationships before coming together. And do that forming. Other than that, you know, when you're at an organization, either you're the new person or maybe there's a couple new people at a time who are joining a group, but for the most part, everyone's already got a relationship formed at some level. So I kind of I want to say, and I'm probably wrong, but I want to say that this is a pretty unique circumstance where we have that opportunity to meet a whole bunch of people kind of for the first time they're meeting together, and they are going through it together as opposed to just one or two people kind of new to an organization get folded into that.
Yeah, it's interesting where we have to play multiple roles, as one aspect of it where kind of like the people with the innovative ideas, but yet we have to take a step back and allow individuals on the team to be a product owner and a scrum master.
Yeah.
To really guide the team through the process. And I think that's very enlightening as well.
I came here with a couple of ideas, knowing that I was a volunteer and I might not have the opportunity to present the idea and even work with the team on the idea. But nonetheless, I wanted to pitch a couple of ideas in the marketplace, like pair coaching, for example. I pitched that. And then I realized soon that I didn't want to stand my ground and represent that idea. One, there wasn't a lot of attention coming to it, but also I found the other ideas up there equally as compelling as mine.
Yeah.
So it was good to release that expectation, to release that responsibility of, and I'm going to be a product owner as well. But still, it's a nice parallel to what we do in our day jobs. Like if I was a product owner for a team, here, then I would get everyone together and say, okay, here's the idea that I'd like to, deliver value to a customer. In this case, the customer being the group of attendees or maybe the greater Scrum community, Scrum Alliance community. At the job, I guess it's the same thing, though. You've got a customer in mind and you are working with the team to kind of communicate what is your vision and have the team also kind of communicate back how are they going to implement it and see where do those two kind of overlap. So same thing that we did here. A lot of negotiation is what I'm going to. Not only between the person who pitched the original idea, but the team is like helping them kind of reform their vision, kind of recast their vision so that the best possible outcome could occur.
Yeah, probably wasn't as graceful as you were, because I pitched an idea and it got stuck under this bigger umbrella, and then I had a night to sleep on it, and I came back and I said, you know what? I really want to speak to the NGO community. I want to speak to the nonprofits. Mm-hmm. I said, I have to believe there's a few good men and women out here who also are passionate about that. I took mine away from the group and said, you know, we're going to talk about agility for the good of humanity. And I started the whole pitching process of people walking around, and I'm telling them, hey, you're interested in that. And so I was lucky to find five other people who were willing to step in into that moment and that opportunity with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I found out that you know how to draw clouds after all.
Yeah.
Drawing clouds on your flip chart. That's funny. Someone on the team, I heard someone say, no, it has to be a cloud. It can't be a circle. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Well, I know. You know, working agreements, you know, wonderful things that you...
Yours included having fun, though, right?
Yes, that was part of our working agreement.
Top of the working agreements, yep. Have fun. And that's important because that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
We're not at work. We're not in a workplace environment where we have to adhere to kind of the goals of the business and, you know, what HR says and what our boss says and what we're, you know, responsible for with the people we work with. None of that. So we could just kind of loosen up and have fun.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing, you know, to have this opportunity to step into this space and just work with so many great people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this was just fabulous.
And I know you've already talked to a handful of them, but just to give another shout out to Gary, to Stuart for coming all the way from
London,
England.
Terrell.
Terrell for being here. Randy. Even though Anu and Kate couldn't make it, you know, they were instrumental in this.
Yep.
Ewan was here and Daniel.
Daniel, yeah.
And again, kudos to you, Dr. Dave, because
you
pulled us all together and you made it work. So.
Yeah. And then just a big shout out to the Scrum Alliance for contributing and supporting this event, because they seed the money and really help to get things going, because I know without their support, it would be really difficult to pull this off.
Right. And I don't know when you're posting this podcast, but we've got the Scrum Gathering coming up in Orlando.
Yeah.
So it's probably by the time you're listening to it, it might be right around this time. But that's great that they're giving back so much to our community in the form of these retreats and as well to the gathering, too. It'll be my first gathering that I'm going to in Orlando, so I'm really looking forward to.
Aren't you speaking at the gathering?
I am.
What's your topic, my friend?
Back to pair coaching. It's how can we learn from one other person within our organization? It doesn't have to be the same person, but how can I, as a coach or someone who strives to become, say, a coach, learn and increase my own self-efficacy by getting feedback and mentoring from another person, or mentoring another person, or learning with another person. So there's a lot for me to talk about, but that's the subject for a different podcast. Back to the Scrum Alliance and the support we got. One thing that I did want to call out is Lisa Creed was working with us. She had set up, and Scrum Alliance has been setting up their community
the new site,
area. Yeah. And so I think this retreat is one of the first events to now use that community site.
Yeah, that's true. We were the first to use that site. So there's great support from even the support team, like Angie, who, you know, really deals with a lot of the back end stuff, Deb Klein.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a lot of support that comes from the Scrum Alliance to allow this to really take place.
Yeah.
It'll be really hard pressed for us to have a full-time job and do this. This is a full-time job in itself.
Yeah, it really is, especially once it gets close to the day. It's like, hey, boss, I cannot work for the next 2 weeks.
I've got to
be available for this.
Yeah, but we already have a podcast and file for you for peer coaching. So, maybe you take a listen to, when you're listening to this podcast, spend a little bit more time and go over to peer coaching with Vic.
Yeah, go back to episode
One.
Yeah.
You're like episode number one, which is awesome.
Oh, I know it. I've listened to that thing 3 or 4 times right now. Gotta get those listener metrics up, right?
That's right.
That's what
for
I do
sure.
to my own podcast, too. Dave's been a guest on Agile Coffee as well a number of times. In fact, I've interviewed a few people here at the event, too, so you can go over to episode 43 and 44 of Agile Coffee Podcast, and you can hear Dave on episode 43 as well as others on episode 44.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Vic.
Thank you, Dave. It's been a pleasure, and it's done. So
yeah, time to go rest.
Exactly.
All right, man. Thank you.
Bye.
I really enjoyed my time at the Scrum Coaching Retreat. This one was very special for me because I was one of the primary organizers responsible to facilitate and orchestrate the retreat with a team of very qualified volunteers. The volunteers included Kate McGaugh, Daniel Gulo, Anu Smalley, Gary Moore, Ewan O'Leary, Terrell Payton, Victor Bonacci, Stuart Young, and Dr. Dave Cornelius. I am grateful for the opportunity to serve the 89 people that attended the Scrum Coaching Retreat from many locations globally. Look for the Knowledge Share with Dr. Dave podcast on iTunes and Google Play. The Knowledge Share with Dr. Dave podcast is hosted on grokshare.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Dave, reach out on Twitter at Dr. Dave Info or at KnowledgeShare. This podcast and interviews produced by Dr. Dave Quinones. Copyright 2016. KnowledgeShare.
You rock share.
I rock it and KnowledgeShare. Every day, every day. Until next time, pursue goodness, share, and learn.